Oh, I understand what you're saying. Just something occurred a couple of days ago while I went out swimming in the bay. And all my life I've had this slight fear of being out of my depth in deep water. It hasn't stopped me doing things like diving or water skiing or whatever, but there's always been that kind of nervousness and that anticipation.
So again, let's talk about it. We want to hear you out because it's really good what you're about to say, but we want to lay something in here. So you feel uneasiness. Let's even call it a little bit of fear about being in water that is deeper than you are tall. And we want to say to you, is that fear because you're being warned about the water, or is that fear because you're thinking a thought about being in the water that the source within you doesn't think? In other words, let's put it in the proper... Yeah. Proper perspective. Yes?
Yes?
In other words, you are not ever, ever, ever going to be able to look at the opposite of what you want and not feel negative emotion. It never works that way. It never works that way. It's like saying, well, I'd like to shut my hand in the door someday and not feel anything. And we say, we'd rather you feel something. It'll keep you from shutting your finger in the door.
That's right. Well, what was so nice for me the other day, as I got out and I swam out into the bay and I swam out of my depth, and I relaxed, and I just realized the absence of fear.
And that was just a wonderful experience to relax. And why? What is the formula for the absence of fear? Focusing upon thoughts of what you want. How can that be? How can that be? There are so many bad things in the world. How could I be fearless? Don't focus upon the bad things in the world.
Oh, absolutely.
But don't I have a responsibility to focus upon the bad things in the world? Well, you never help anyone by focusing upon the bad things in the world. In other words, contrast helps you to decide what you want, but there is no virtue or value in holding yourself chronically apart from who you have become. Really good.
That's right. It's just a wonderful feeling just
to be there in that space.
You could do that
sitting... Think about the most stable place that you ever sit. Where would it be? Is your most stable place at home? Is your most stable place on your personal property? Is your most stable place... Where do you feel the best? What place? Are you having a hard time finding a stable place on this planet in your mind? In other words, when Esther thinks of stable places, the place seems irrelevant to her now, because she feels stability wherever she is. So, but think about your most stable place. So pick it, and let's say that you've chosen your bed in your bedroom in your home is your most stable feeling place. The refrigerator is full of food and you feel stable. Now, picture in your mind being in that stable place and picture an earthquake coming, even though it's never been there before, and causing upheaval all around you. So now you might feel a little discord about it, but now take it a little deeper and imagine that everything falls down around you and now you are trapped inside of a very small space. Now take it a little further and imagine that the people outside, most of them died or got away, they're not aware of you and they're not coming. Now, take a little further and realize that you can't get out. In other words, it wouldn't take very much of that conversation before you'd start hyperventilating. In other words, you could induce feelings of fear, not because you are in jeopardy, not because there is any danger, not because badness is being asserted to you, but because you held yourself for a period of time in thoughts that are the opposite of what you want and literally separated yourself from the resources of life that infuse you with that feeling of well-being. In other words, the way you feel is only about your thoughts. And people argue with us, no, Abraham, the way I feel are about my thoughts. Yes, but they're about my thoughts of reality that could happen. And we say, but you've got to choose from reality the things that you want to happen and focus upon those until it's easy for you to maintain that vibration. And then things that you don't want to happen can't happen to you because nothing can come to you outside of practiced thought. Nothing can come to you outside of practiced thought.
Yeah,
so then we talk about, well, so how do we know Someone brought it up the other day. Wonderful question. How do I know if this thought is about something that's going to happen, or if it's, in other words, is it guidance? Is it just helping me to guide my thoughts? Is it something that I should do something about? So as Esther was packing, they were in the bus. They left the bus in Orlando, and she's packing to come on board the ship. And they always do their best to travel as light as they can because for obvious reasons. And Esther has a lot of equipment that sometimes she brings along, back up this and back up that. And she thought, I'm just going to travel light. And so as she was preparing her sound computer to bring it, she had this very powerful thought about, because there were several seminars still in the computer and the new audiobook that they have just read onto the recording. And so there was a lot of work, hundreds of hours of work really, on her hard drive in the computer. And Esther just had this thought, I think I'll just take those off and put it on the other hard drive. And so she did that. She sat. It took about an hour. We hear your beeper. It took about an hour, and she moved all of those files to the other hard drive. And then she had the thought, as she saw a little backup computer that she has, the new bus has this wonderful shelf that has several spaces for all of her equipment. And so she has computers all lined up all over the place and hard drives all lined up all over the place. And she was just sort of standing there looking at it, and she had an impulse to snatch that other computer and put it in her bag. And as she had the feeling to do it, she actually reached for it, picked it up, felt the weight of it, and then contradicted that thought with a thought that didn't feel as good. The thought was, it's heavy, and it will make the bag too heavy, and other people will be carrying my bags, and I'm not wanting to overload the bags, and the ship crew will be looking through the bags, perhaps, and sometimes they want us to open the bags and show what's in it. And so, with negative emotion in her belly, she put that computer back. Then yesterday, she was working in the afternoon, editing a little bit on one of the projects, and the computer that she brought to record the seminar ground to a halt. She heard it happen. The hard drive just seized up. And Esther then understood fully that impulse that she had had, an impulse that she disregarded. She disregarded a positive impulse by overlaying it with negative response. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I think now, we all do that.
It doesn't matter because they have all kinds of redundancy. In other words, it will be more effort. They have the recording. It will be available. It will just take more effort. And then Esther did something that we were teasing some of you about doing. She began to beat up on herself a little bit. I knew better, she said. I knew that. I knew that. I felt that. I disregarded my guidance. I didn't do what I felt. And then she said, or did I create it? Is there something going on within me? Is it because I can see all of my friends out there playing? She stood on the deck and watched you all going off as she went into her cabin and went to work. Or was I resenting working while they were playing, and so I killed my computer so I couldn't work? In other words, she's scrambling around trying to figure out. And then she thought, no, I really did want to work. In other words, she thought about it. Do I like doing this work? There's nothing I would rather do. Was I enjoying that process? I was loving that process. When the computer ground to a halt, was I in a positive mood or a negative mood? I was in a positive mood. In other words, you just keep sorting it out. The bottom line is, when you feel positive emotion, that's your guidance calling you towards something. When you feel negative emotion, that's the opposite signal. In other words, that's usually your mother. That's usually Jerry saying, these bags are too heavy. That's something other than your guidance system. You're always being called toward your greatest good. And your greatest good is that selfish intention that you were born with. You are God's source, selfishly, God force, selfishly focused in this time-space reality. The God within you, if you want to call it that, the source within you, you cannot see other than through the perspective of self. And when you allow yourself full alignment with who you are, it is a wonderful thing. Good time for a segment of refreshment.
Thank you.
We are.